What an overcoming life, a life of joy and freedom. Do you know how to find it? It can be found in Jesus. Welcome to this episode of the Re-Up Men's Podcast with Tim Brown. I'm Brandon Porter. Tim will join us in just a moment. Re-Up is dedicated to helping men live in Christ. We've developed resources to help you and a group of guys grow in faith, strength, and hope. Learn more at reuppodcast.com. Well, Tim, a few years ago, I had a pretty significant staph infection. I ended up in the hospital for 4 days. And there were some symptoms, as there are with sicknesses and illnesses, that as a man, I was doing my best to ignore, which is kind of what we do.
Yes.
And I can remember a few times a doctor in that process of treatment having to come back and say, I don't think you realize how sick you are, which my wife heard loud and clear. But it took a few times for it to sink in my thick skull.
Right.
The same is true in a spiritual sense. You know, we look around the world and the world seems to be functioning and turning. People are getting up and going to work and raising their families and doing that sort of thing. And sometimes we don't take serious enough just how sinful, or, you know, how sin affects us.
Yeah.
And not just the world around us, but even us as individuals.
Yeah.
The Bible's pretty clear on that, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I think we live in a culture so much today that sin has been so desensitized. And I've heard some—I don't remember who it was—just say one time that we have, if we could just really get back to really understanding how powerful and ugly sin really is. We would, but we, you know, we're moving so fast. We're living in a world that desensitizes us to it. Then you throw all the social media and Hollywood and all that. That's, you know, I recently read a statistic where it was only 23% of young people under the age of 30, I think it was, maybe it was 25, believe Satan is even real. Which shows us how we've desensitized the evil one. The way Hollywood portrays him, you know, there's that TV show called Lucifer, and he's this good-looking guy, you know, and just so I think we've done that with sin too. I think we've just so devalued it, desensitized it, don't just realize how ugly it really is and evil. And obviously the enemy's going to take that and run with it.
And
that wasn't so bad. You know, that's not that big a deal that you did that or whatever. But, you know, Paul, who used to be Saul, Tarsus, who was a pretty bad dude. Man, he, you know, in Romans 1, he just kind of goes after it, honest with you. And he doesn't paint a very pretty picture of it. But the other unfortunate thing is he also tells us there that how ugly it is. And if we decide we want to go down that road, the Lord will kind of just turn us over to that. Bob, who spent so much time with me and discipling me, used to always say it this way when we would get to this section of scripture in Romans 1. He'd basically say, okay, he'd act like he was God. That comes out the wrong way. But he would say, all right, that's what you want to do, you're eventually not going to like it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be ugly.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Yeah.
And so Paul really kind of makes that clear here. And so one of the reasons I put this in the study and in this section about who we became is to value who we became.
Yeah.
And but again, also to remind us now that we've become this, that sin is still ugly.
Yeah.
Sin's still evil.
Yeah.
And it's still going to be knocking on our door every day.
Yeah.
Trying to get us to do the very thing we don't want to do.
Yeah.
That Paul talks about later in Romans 7.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's really important. I mean, to know what you've overcome.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
What Christ has overcome for you.
Yeah, how ugly it really used to be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So let's talk about that. Let's slow this passage down. And we're talking about Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32 specifically is the text that we're looking at.
Yep.
And so, Tim, just kind of unpack that progression for us.
Yeah, well, in my Bible, I use a New American Standard Study Bible. And in this section, it always it's described as the progression of sin in man.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, you just really kind of start looking at this where it says, therefore God gave them up, as I mentioned a while ago, in the lust of their hearts. And then here's what he'll turn you over to if you want to go down that road. Impurity, dishonoring of their bodies among themselves. That doesn't scream 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, again, here's what happens is we will, anything you're doing that's opposite of what God wants for you, you're exchanging the truth about God for a lie. And of course, we live in a postmodern world today where they believe there is no truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're worshiping and serving the creature rather than the creator. So whatever was created, you're worshiping that instead of the one who actually created. And then again, verse 26, God gave them over to their dishonorable passions. Women exchanged their natural relations for those contrary to nature. I don't think we got to draw a picture of what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And men likewise gave up natural relations with women. And when we're consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men. Again, I go back to what Bob used to, you know, he used it this way. He said, men came to God or women came to God and said, hey, we've got a great idea. We think it'd be great for women to have relations with women and men to have women. And he's like, well, that's not what I designed it for.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way I designed it. But if you want to go down that road, I'll let you go down it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, we see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get into the next progression of going almost to a reprobate type mind. It just keeps a snowball going downhill. And you got people that all manners of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithful, heartless, ruthless. Well, we're describing our society.
Yeah.
And then it says, though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. So it's just what happens. But now in this section of who we've become, it's that reminder of where we were.
Yeah.
And doesn't mean we still don't sin. Doesn't mean we still might not do some of these things here, gossip about somebody or whatever. But that no longer, again, back to what we've been talking about, that no longer has power over us.
Yeah.
And because of Christ.
Yeah.
But that's where we were. It's kind of like looking back behind you and going, well, that's where I used to be.
Yeah.
It's that reminder.
Yeah. So I think, you know, there are a couple of things that always stand out to me about this passage. I think that the fact that there are some big sins, if I could use air quotes there are big sins, that the dishonorable passions.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, murder. That's a big sin, you know. Inventors of evil.
Mm.
That sounds pretty significant to me. But then at the same time, you're just sort of clicking along there and you're thinking, man, these are high-level sins. And Paul just throws out this little stumbling block that's disobedient to parents.
Yeah.
wait a minute.
Yeah.
Hold up.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All of a sudden, I thought, man, I've escaped this, you know?
Yeah.
And he tosses out disobedient to parents.
Yeah.
And I think it really takes you back to look at your heart, because that first phrase there in verse 28, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, really when we think all the way back to the garden with the lie that Satan brings into the garden to give Eve, not only does Satan lie about what God says, but Eve does not see fit to acknowledge God. She doesn't come back with the truth. She accepts that lie, that distortion.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we do that. Sometimes we definitely do accept the lie instead of the truth. But there are other times where we just don't even think about it.
No.
And so we don't acknowledge God whatsoever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's probably one of the things that we miss as the sinfulness of our culture rolls forward. It's not the sinfulness of it is that people thumb their nose at God and deliberately disobey him. But it's also sinful for us to not even acknowledge him
exactly.
Because he is the creator
yeah.
who has a design, an intent, and a purpose, and he's the owner of it all. Therefore, he has the right to exercise that authority.
Yeah, I think about,
men struggle with the opposite sex. So, again, kind of to your point, we forget to acknowledge that when she walks by us and we want to, unfortunately, do the things in our mind that Satan tries to get us to do. We forget. We don't even acknowledge God that, wait. That was one of God's creations.
Uh-huh.
I can't look at it that way.
Yeah.
God created that.
Yeah.
So we don't even acknowledge God in that situation. Yeah, we might acknowledge, I don't need to look.
Yeah.
No. Wait. What I need, probably as much as anything, is I need to acknowledge God.
Yeah.
Because that was his creation. And I'm not to look on that way.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. I think that goes into just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Right.
You know? I mean, you think about pornography. Just because you can find people who are willing to participate in that, just because you can take a camera and film it, just because you can upload it to the internet.
Right.
It doesn't make that okay.
Yeah.
Because that's not what God intended
that for.
That's
beauty.
Exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that the body. Yeah, that's not what he intended it for.
Right.
It's not. It was to be in a one-on-one private mm-hmm. relationship.
Yeah.
With man and woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's and yeah. So again, we're the can and. I think you're exactly right, but just that imagery, and again, using the verse here, where we don't even we serve the creature rather than the creator.
Mm-hmm.
Just that acknowledgement, as you were talking about, we just forget God in the equation. Period.
Yeah.
Thankfully, as we grow more in our identity mm-hmm. and understand some of this, it's much easier to go. Wait. That's not who I am, and I'm acknowledging God created that, and that was for his glory, not mine.
Yeah.
And so I'm to turn the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And that, again, in Romans 6:11-12, we turn that over to the members of our body, those truths, knowing mm-hmm. those, it allows us to, I'm not even going to look at her.
Yeah.
That's God's creation.
Yeah.
I'm not going to look on her that way. That's wrong.
Mm-hmm. And so outside of Christ, is anyone exempt from that sort of the sin's power and sin's reach?
I hadn't met one of those critters yet.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So if you're listening and you're one of those critters, I'd love to meet you.
Yeah.
But I got a feeling if you're listening, we all fall there.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Nobody's exempt.
Yeah.
And actually, to be honest with you, that this is going to come out wrong. That's actually a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means you can turn to God, though, uh-huh. at some point in time.
Uh-huh.
If you were exempt from it and you didn't have the knowledge and all the grit, I that'd be a bad thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you think about, another place in Romans is Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned.
Yep.
And fall short of the glory of God. I mean, the scriptures are clear.
Yep.
So the word of God says it, but we all, our lives testified
Absolutely.
To that, to the truth of that.
Absolutely.
That we are all sinners.
Absolutely.
When we come back, Tim, let's talk a little bit about how we overcome that sin and the power of Christ at work in us to push back.
Yeah.
Re-Up is a personal adventure into intimacy with Jesus Christ. It's more than a program to get men into church. Creating intentional structures with constant encouragement and focus. Re-Up aims to help men grow as disciples of Jesus, educating men in the Father, encouraging them as they pursue the Father, and empowering them as they grow in the Father. Alongside other men, Re-Up helps create a culture of expectation and accountability that gives you a foundation for a true disciple-making ministry in your church. Learn more at reupmen.com.
So, Tim, in the first half, we look through Romans chapter 1, and that talks a lot about who we were when we didn't acknowledge God, when we lived in the flesh, when we lived in sinful patterns and sinful ways. But most of the folks who are listening are not those people anymore. They are now living their life in Christ. They're wanting to grow in Christ, that they're wanting to be the man that God wants them to be. Let's talk about how that sin is overcome. And we look at Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 20 as a key place where we go.
Yeah.
And so let's talk a little bit about that passage.
I just love the passion Paul wrote with, the clarity. Mm. And again, in context, remembering who Paul wrote to. I mean, he had not visited Rome yet. He didn't know these people yet. So he wrote in a lot of detail, which I'm so happy because I grew up in Murray.
Yeah.
I went to Callaway and so I need as much detail as I can get. So he just really just makes it pretty easy. If you read this section of scripture, the first four chapters of Romans, Paul really kind of attacks, for lack of a better term, and tries to disprove certain groups of people that believed certain things. Mm-hmm. And, the Jewish people believed they were right with God automatically.
Yeah, because of their heritage.
Because of their heritage, really kind of three things. They were given the law. They were God's chosen people. Circumcision, all those things. And so Paul goes about kind of just trying to disprove those. Yeah. In Romans 2, 3, and 4, pretty heavy. And he does a pretty good job of it because he doesn't mess around at all.
Yeah.
And he just kind of makes it clear that that there's really only one way. The law is not going to do it. He talks about the law here in verse 19. Mm-hmm. Whatever the law says speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And what he's really trying to say there is it took the law for us to realize we were sinning, number one. I mean, how would we even know we were sinning?
Yeah.
And he's talking about the Mosaic law here. He's talking about, how would you know you were murdered, you committed adultery, or you were coveting or whatever if you didn't have the law. Mm-hmm. And the law just makes you realize you can't live that way.
Yeah.
And you got to have somebody that can do that, who lived it perfectly, which was Jesus.
Yeah,
because we're now in the New Testament, so we're on the other side of the cross here. So he kind of destroys that argument that the law made you right, and that no works are going to do it. It's only by faith. But again, it took the law, the knowledge of the law. I mean, knowing the law to know we were sinning, and so. He's validating to us now as we look back at who we were. He's saying, realize you were a sinner with no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're a saint who sometimes sins. Mm-hmm. And that's two different thought processes. Or is Satan, even after you're saved, Satan tries to get you to think, see, you're still a dirty, rotten sinner because you did that. No. God's telling me he hates sin.
Yeah.
I'm still a saint because what I do isn't who I am, but who I am does have a huge impact on what I do. So I'm a saint who sometimes sins, but as I learn more and more of what that sainthood looks like, I sin less.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, and let's think about that. Let's slow that down because the natural logic would say, so I'm going back to Romans 1 where we were earlier in the program, which says that God gave them up to unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. My natural logic would say, so just don't covet. So just don't be evil. So don't be malicious, all those things. But what this passage in Romans 3, now Paul's moved his argument down the road two more chapters. He said it doesn't work that way. That this is not a withdrawal and a deposit kind of system here. Yep. That once you've broken the law, you're a lawbreaker. You've broken it.
You break one of them, you broke all of them.
Yeah. And so I think that's where what we just talked about with our identity, that's where it doesn't work because a guy is naturally going to think, well, I'll just stop being that guy and I'll be this guy over here. But that's just not the answer.
Yeah. again, if there's one of those critters that can do that out there, I want to meet him.
Yeah.
But the only critter I know that's ever done that, and I'm going to get to meet someday, was Jesus.
Yeah.
So it's got to be him doing that through me. Because, I mean, there is no way when somebody pulls up next to me at a stoplight driving a $150,000 car that in my own flesh I won't look at that and go, well, I'd like to have that. I mean, that's it. But he threw me.
Yeah.
Can look at that and go, do you realize how many hours I'd have to work to pay for that?
Yeah.
Well, that's two different views of it. Well, where's that right view come from him? Not me, because I want it. But the right view would be, I mean, he's telling me, Tim, you realize how much debt you'd have to go into to buy that car? So again, it's just that it changes. Because of he in you and living by his life.
Yeah. And so at the same time, it does not say, so it's just okay to live in those ways.
Right. Oh, yeah, Paul.
It finishes out the other part of what you've said just a moment ago, what you said repeatedly of what we do does not determine who we are, but who we are has a great effect on what we do.
Yeah, and Paul, you know, because Paul got accused a lot here in this section of scripture, you know, the first eight chapters, it's recorded a couple times, but I bet he got it a lot that people were just saying, well, this is the greatest news I've ever heard.
Yeah.
You're saying I can just sin away and not worry. And he uses that strong Greek language a couple times. May it never be.
Yeah.
Basically he's saying, no, you missed it. Once you know who you are, and that will change what you do.
Yeah.
Automatically. I mean, does it happen overnight? No, it's sanctification. It's a growth process.
Yeah.
But no, I'm not saying you go, he's saying that, look, you're not listening. You need to pay a little more attention when he says, may it never be, because that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that once you understand who you are, it did it with me because I was a guy who used to kill Christians. But when I had that experience and understood who I really am, it's changed what I do.
Yeah.
And I don't want to sin.
Yeah.
I still do it, as he talks about in Romans 7, still do the very thing I don't want to do, but it happens less and less and less.
Yeah, the desire of your heart has changed.
Absolutely.
Where in Romans 1, you had no desire to acknowledge God.
Nope.
On the other side of faith in Christ and redemption in Christ, you have a desire to not only please God, but you have a desire to be with God. Yeah. So it moves from even acknowledging him to wanting to be with him.
Yeah. And then you go all the way over to Romans 12, verse 2, where he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Well, that only happens by being with him.
Yeah.
Spending time with him. So then I can look at her when she walks by me and go, instead of conforming to the world, I can now be transformed by the renewing of my mind, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I've spent time with him. Now I can look at that and go, that's one of God's creations. I'm not about to think of that way. And I'll turn the other way. So it all, I mean, Paul fits it all together perfectly.
Yeah.
But it's got to be Christ doing it through you.
Yeah. So, you know, I think there are a couple of places that we could go as we kind of wrap things up. First of all, guys should be careful to not beat themselves up too much, because what we've talked about in this is common to, it's kind of like that same logic you've used several times. Listen, you're a dirty, rotten sinner, but guess what? We all are.
Yeah.
So don't think you're the only one on this planet who's ever struggled with that.
Right. Yeah. Again, the enemy is just, he hadn't had an original idea because what he's always done continues to work. And he's done such a masterful job. Even us guys that have Christ in us, the hope of glory, we've given our life to Christ. He's living in us. We're maybe spending some time with him, but we still sometimes mess up. Well, the first thing is, by understanding some of these truths, we realize that we're free to fail every now and then. It's okay. And that doesn't define you, doesn't change who you are in God's eyes. But so many men just give into that so easy, and I call them the shoe lookers. They got their heads down looking at their shoes all the time, and they don't have any confidence in themselves. They don't walk with that authority and that power in them that is in them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the enemy just takes that and wears us out. You know, yeah. You know, I mean, look at you, Brandon. You, mm-hmm. you can't make it. You can't even lead your own home because mm-hmm. you can't lead yourself.
Right.
I mean, he uses our voice a lot of times,
yeah.
you know, and he just, that's his game. That's what he's a master at. Mm-hmm. And, so again, that's why it's so important to, I spoke earlier this week at a deal, at Southeast Christian Church in Louisville. And, you know, I just talked about guys, we just, the value of being with him every day is so, I can never overstate that because the enemy is relentless. He's not going to give up. And Christ just wants us in his lap, spending time with him because that's what gives us his aroma. That's what gives us his power. We understand more of who we are and him in us, and we can turn things over to him easier. We can view life from God's perspective, look at things and go, that's right, that's wrong, that's not true, that's true, all those things.
Yeah.
But it comes from spending time with him.
Yeah.
And back to my statement, you know, we got to give God time enough to teach us enough so we'll learn enough to trust him enough to let him live his life through us so we can fully experience what life that Jesus came that we might have and have it to the full.
The power to live a victorious life comes through Christ. He gives strength to defeat temptation, pursue a life that honors God and brings joy to yourself and others around you. Sounds like the kind of life I want. How about you? At Re-Up, we understand that living a life of faith and freedom in Christ is not a solo journey. It's about having a community of men who stand with you in the challenges of life. That's why we provide resources at reuppodcast.com that are designed to help you and a group of guys live that life of freedom in Christ, through Christ. Please subscribe to our podcast at your favorite platform, and remember, giving us a positive rating helps us reach even more men. Thanks for listening to the Re-Up Men's Podcast with Tim Brown.